Good morning. So last week we had looked at the topic of the sanctity of life in the womb, how God views children in their prenatal state or even before they are actually born into this world, before they come out of the mother's womb. And we had looked at various references in relation to that, references that speak of how God is the one who forms us in the womb, references of how God is the one who calls people even from the womb, and also references of how God treats what is in the womb as a definite person and not just a mass of tissue or cells. Today we are going to look at, and our conclusion based on that was, if God considers what is in the womb as a definite person, then we also must have the same perspective, and that should influence our decisions and our actions when it comes to those related topics. Today we want to look at what is God's attitude towards orphans or the fatherless. And just so happened to be a coincidence, I don't know if any of you are aware, but there's a Christian organization by the name of the Christian Alliance for Orphans, CAFO.org, and every Sunday they set aside one particular Sunday as Orphan Sunday to, you know, to specifically remember and pray for the orphans around the world. And that happens to be this particular Sunday today, November the 12th. Now, in terms of what the Bible has to say about this particular group of people, first of all, we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was, you know, on this earth, and we're not going to be reading these verses, but when the Lord was on this earth, he did show a special affinity or love or care for children. In all of the, you know, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we do have the record of Jesus blessing the little children, even when others, even his own disciples, tried to forbid the children from coming. Jesus was very particular that no one should forbid the children from coming to him. And the language that is used is that it was little children, even though we don't know the exact age. And in one of the references, it says that he took the child in his arms. So definitely we're talking about little children there, possibly even infants. We know that, you know, the Lord Jesus, when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead, we are told that, you know, she was only 12 years old. Who did the Lord raise from the dead when he was on this earth? One was the daughter of Jairus, the other one was Lazarus, and the other one was the son of the widow of at Nain. So two out of the three are portrayed as children, right? He only raised, you know, three people specifically from the dead on this earth, and two out of the three are portrayed as children. So again, that also gives us some clue into how the Lord Jesus felt in relation to children, even during his time on earth. Now, specifically what we want to consider today, what does the Bible have to say about a specific group of children that the Bible calls the orphans or the fatherless? And one of the things that, you know, we've said many times, whenever the Bible repeatedly mentions something, it means that it is trying to show emphasis or focus on that. And repetition is not simply a coincidence. So when we look at the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament, numerous times we are told of God's specific attitude or care or concern for orphans in relation to various aspects. And those are the verses that we want to look at this morning. These verses don't really require much interpretation. It's mostly just observation. Because the point of our study is, again, to see what the Bible has to say about how God considers either orphans or sometimes the language, the fatherless, is used. So to keep it simple as well as systematic, I've divided them into various points and given the appropriate references for each one. So I do want to go through and read these references, and as you get the references like last week, please feel free to read them. Firstly, in Psalm 68, verse 5. And you will notice in many of these references, orphans are mentioned along with another group, and that is widows, because widows are another group that God has a special place for in his heart. That's a study in and of itself, but today we are just looking specifically at orphans. So Psalm 68 and verse 5 tells us that God is a father to the orphans or the fatherless. Now, Psalm 68, it's kind of a long psalm at about 35 verses. And if you go through the other verses of the psalm, The psalmist here, David, is extolling the various qualities or characteristics of God. And it's interesting that as one of those characteristics in verse 5, he mentions that in his holy habitation, so God's holy habitation, we know, in the presence of God in heaven, even though he is such a great God, even though at times he can seem very much far removed from this earth because he is in his holy habitation, he does not, dwell in any part of this earth, David is reminding us, even through the words of this song, this psalm, that God has a special place for the orphan. So even in his holy habitation, God is the one who is father to the fatherless. Psalm 10 and verse 14. Psalm 10 and verse 14. So not only is God a father to the fatherless, here he is portrayed as the helper of the fatherless. And also Psalm 146 and verse 9. 146, 9. So supports or helps, or my translation here, he relieves. And again, the idea is the same. So he is the one who supports, he is the one who gives assistance or help to the fatherless. So God is father to the fatherless, he is helper or supporter of the fatherless. Proverbs 23, verses 10 and 11, where God is portrayed as being the one who speaks on behalf of the fatherless. Proverbs 23, 10 and 11. In verse 10, when it says, do not enter the fields of the fatherless, really the idea is do not steal from or do not take what belongs to the fatherless for yourself. And this brings up another point as well, even as we continue to go through what the Bible says about God's attitude to the fatherless or orphans. Why is it that God has such a special place in his heart for this group of people, along with widows as well? Well, if we think about it, in the ancient world, and even today, I think it would be the same, the fatherless and widows represent the most helpless of society, the ones who really have no one to speak on their behalf. So here in Proverbs 10, in Proverbs 23, rather, the writer is telling us, when he says, don't enter the fields of the fatherless, don't try to take or don't try to steal or rob from the fatherless. Why? Verse 11, for their Redeemer, capital R, referring to God, he will plead their cause against you. So you think that, I can take, we have that expression, it's like taking candy from a child, right? So I can take, what belongs to the fatherless. I mean, what is really the orphan or the widow? What are they going to do? They don't have any money. They don't have any strength. They don't have an attorney or a lawyer to speak on their behalf. But here the writer is saying God himself will hold you accountable. He will speak. Literally, it means he will speak on their behalf against you for the wrong you have done. Moving on, God provides justice for the fatherless. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We see that even in the Old Testament, the first five books, the Old Testament law, and we'll look at some other verses later on, God did give specific instructions regarding various groups of people, and orphans do feature prominently there. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 18. So he defends the cause, or literally, he administers justice. So again, what I was saying before, the fatherless, and again you see the widow also presented there, the ones who would normally not have anyone to speak on their behalf, God is the one who provides justice for them. Coming back to the Psalms, Psalm 10, verses 16 to 18. So here in verse, and the reason I read from verse 16 for a little bit of context, the psalmist says, the Lord is king forever and ever, talking about how, this is God Almighty. He is king of the whole world, king of the universe. And because he is such a great king, verse 16, none of the nations can stand before him. That is how powerful and awesome and mighty he is. But the psalmist is making kind of a contrast again, just like we read in Psalm 68:5, God is the defender of the fatherless, father to the fatherless in his holy habitation. Even though God Almighty is this powerful king who can subdue the nations just at his word, verse 17, you have heard the desire of the humble. And verse 18, who can be more humble or lowly in state than the fatherless? So to do justice to the fatherless. So the great kings and the leaders of the earth will not be able to stand against you, even though we would think that normally it's the great kings of the earth who would be the ones to execute justice, because they have all the position and they have the power and they have the wealth. But the psalmist is saying here, no, as great as the nations are, as great as the kingdoms are, they will perish. But the great God, the king, he is the one who will plead the cause. He is the one who will do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. Verse 18, that they will not be oppressed anymore. So God provides justice to the orphans. God is merciful to the fatherless. Hosea 14 and verse 3. Hosea 14. So here, this is, if we read, chapter 14 in context, it is a call for Israel to return back to the Lord. And really what it's saying here through the prophet Hosea, we cannot trust in other nations, or we cannot even, trust in our own, weapons or military, the horses here, or to the work of our own hands. God is the only one who can save us. And what is one of the evidences that God is a saving God? He gives mercy, again, even to the fatherless, even to the lowest rung of, even to the lowest class of society. So if you want help, you need to stop trusting in your own resources and trust in God. And one of the best evidences of God helping people is in God's help of those who have no way to help themselves, the fatherless or the orphans. Now, some very specific commands God has given his people not to mistreat the orphans. Coming back to the Old Testament law, Exodus chapter 22, we know that in the law, various instructions are given on how to treat people, whether it be family members, whether it be fellow countrymen, whether it be women, whether it be parents, whether it be children. And among those groups, we find specific instructions not to mistreat the fatherless. So Exodus 22, someone can read 22 to 24.
You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will come between heart, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children
Now, if you look at these verses, verse 22, do not afflict any widow, or in our focus this morning, fatherless child or orphan. Okay, why? Verse 23, a warning is given, if you afflict them and they cry at all to me, I will hear their cry. Okay, God will hear their cry. So what? Well, verse 24, my wrath will become hot and I will kill you with the sword. So normally when we think of offenses against God that would deserve, destruction or death, we would think of idolatry, we would think of worshiping other gods, we would think of maybe sexual immorality, we would think of using God's name in vain. But here in verse 24, this gives us a clue or an insight into how seriously God treats them, how seriously God looks upon the mistreatment of the orphans. If you mistreat any widow or orphans and they cry to me, I will kill you with the sword, and I will make your families in the same way. I will make your wives as widows, and I will make your children fatherless. So a very clear statement of how seriously God takes the mistreatment of the fatherless, of the orphans. Jeremiah chapter 22. So really what God is saying there in Exodus is that if you mistreat the orphan, the death penalty, what the language we would use today, is the sentence. Jeremiah 22 and verse 3. In fact, if you can read from verse 1, please. Jeremiah 22, verses 1, 2, and 3. And then if you look at verse 5, if they don't listen to God, the warning, this house shall become a desolation. So again, very specifically in verse 3, and this is the command that God is sending through the prophet, you know, to the people, execute judgment and righteousness. You know, you should not be mistreating anyone. But again, you know, God particularly through the prophet calls out those two, you know, or those three groups of people here, the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow. So again, severe consequences if you are to mistreat the orphan. Zechariah 7 and verse 10. Zechariah 7 and verse 10. So, you know, we might think, if you look at the second part of verse 10, wouldn't that be enough? You know, let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. I mean, that really should encompass all groups of people. But again, for specific focus and emphasis, yes, you need to treat everyone in the right way. Do not take advantage. Do not oppress anyone. But again, especially the widow, the father, and the fatherless being our focus, but also the alien or the poor. So again, those who would be considered at the lowest rung of society. The next point, God has strong words for those who oppress the fatherless. Malachi 3 and verse 5. We already saw from Exodus 22 the strong penalty for those who withhold justice from the fatherless. Malachi 3 and verse 5. Now again, if you look at verse 5, God is going to come near for judgment against who? Sorcerers, yes, I can understand that. Adulterers, yes, I can understand that. Perjurers, I can understand that. Oh, those people deserve it. But again, look at how those who also exploit or take advantage of the wage earners and widows and orphans are put in the same category of judgment. So the sorcerers, the adulterers, and the perjurers, which we would definitely think of as great or serious sins, are those who take advantage of the fatherless are put in that same list. And the beginning of verse 5, I will come near you for judgment. So, yes, against the sorcerers, the adulterers, and the perjurers, but also those who mistreat the orphans. And if you look at the end of verse 5, because they do not fear me. So taking advantage of the helpless of society, the orphans, is one sign that people have no fear of God. Again, we would normally think, you know, the sorcerers, the adulterers, the perjurers, the murderers, they are the ones who have no fear of God. But here in this verse, the prophet is saying those who take advantage of the widows, the orphans, they also show that they have no fear of God. We find that consistently the mistreatment of orphans is represented as something evil. Coming back again to Deuteronomy 27 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 19 here. From verse 16 or from verse 14 onwards, a series of curses are produced on, said on various groups of people. So, for example, verse 16, cursed is the one who treats his father or mother with contempt. And if someone can read verse 19. And if you read the remaining verses on the curses there, the curses are pronounced upon people who would engage in acts of gross immorality. But in the midst of those curses as well, again, we have in verse 19, again, the same way, yes, those who commit those gross acts of immorality from verses 20 onwards, they are definitely going to be cursed. But anyone who prevents justice or who mistreats the fatherless, the same curse is on them as well. The book of Job. We looked at some verses last time from the book of Job, and remember we said Job being one of the earliest books written. Job chapter 24. Job 24. Now here in this chapter, again, you know, Job is, we could say, kind of, you know, giving his defense against, you know, his three friends, so to speak. And he is really complaining about much of the violence or the misdeeds that he finds on this earth. Someone can read Job 24, 1, 2, and 3. So the first part, they drive away the donkey of the fatherless, again, taking away. The fatherless only has a little to begin with, and there are people who take that away. And if you look at the rest of the chapter, Job is again cataloging all these things that the evil people do. And basically, in the light of his argument, he is saying, really, there's so much of violence on this earth, I have not done any of these things. If you come to Job chapter 31, a couple more verses. Job 31, again, where Job is making his defense against his friends. Remember, his friends were convinced that you must have done some evil for this calamity to befall you. Job 31, if we can read 21 to 23. So Job is saying in verse 21, if I have mistreated the fatherless in any way, so the idea is I have not, but if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, look at 22 and 23, let my arm fall from my shoulder, verse 23, I know that if I mistreat the orphan, the only thing awaiting me is destruction from God. So even before formally even the Old Testament law was given, you know, Job had insight to know just how much God cared for the fatherless and how what an evil thing it was to withhold justice or to raise your hand against those who had no parents. Psalm 94. Verses 6 and 7. Here the psalmist, again, from verse 4 onwards, he is mentioning some of the things that the wicked people do. Psalm 94, verses 6 and 7. So those who slay the widow and the, you know, the fatherless, again, counted as, you know, groups of the characteristic of the actions of wicked people. Isaiah 1. And we'll start reading from verse 21, verses 21 to 23. Here really the Lord, you know, through the prophet, pronouncing judgment against his people. And he is mentioning some of the evil deeds that his people have done. So Isaiah 1, verses 21 to 23. So in describing the condition of the people, how they have gone away from the Lord, again specifically mentioned how they treat the fatherless. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 2. Actually, we can read from verse 1, please. Verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 10, 1 and 2. So again, in verse 1 of chapter 10, woe to those people who do these evil things, specifically taking from the needy, and specifically we find again widows, and again our focus, that they may rob from the fatherless. So again, a curse pronounced on such people. Jeremiah 5 and verse 28. Jeremiah chapter 5. So what we're looking at in this point is just to see how consistently the Old Testament shows the mistreatment of widows as something, the mistreatment of orphans as something that God regards as utmost evil. So here again, and we'll start reading from verse 26, describing the condition of God's people. So Jeremiah 5 from verse 26. Now, you can just stop there for a second. Suppose we just read verses 26 and 27, and in our own mind, we're thinking, okay, these wicked people who lie in wait, you know, they're full of deceit. If I asked each one of us to make a list of sins that you think that such people do, I don't know how many of us, honestly, myself included, would put, oh, I'm sure they're taking advantage of the fatherless. But, brother, you can read verse 28. So these men are described as wicked men, verse 26. Their houses are full of deceit. Verse 28 says, their deeds surpass the deeds even of the wicked who do not know God. And one of the evidences that they have their wickedness surpasses the wickedness of others, of even pagans, is they do not plead the cause. They do not care for the orphans. One more verse in this regard, Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. We can read verses 6 and 7, again cataloging the sins of Jerusalem, Ezekiel 22, 6 and 7. So again, a specific example of their wickedness, mistreating the fatherless and the widows. And if you look at the next verse, verse 8, you have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. So in that same catalog of sins, again, mistreatment of the fatherless is seen. So in this point, the mistreatment of orphans is consistently represented as evil. On the other side, helping orphans is viewed as favorable. And again, we have a few verses from the book of Job for this. Job 29. Job 29, verses 11 and 12. So Job is saying here he is blessed because of what? Verse 12, because he did help the fatherless and the one who had no helper. Also chapter 31, Job 31, verses 16 to 18. So Job is saying in verses 16 and 17, if I have not taken the case of the fatherless, or verse 17, if I saw food that the fatherless needed and I took that food for myself, and you know, we read some of the later verses before, verse 23, I can only expect destruction. But what does Job say in verse 18? I know I haven't done that. From my youth I have taken the fatherless, and from my mother's womb I have guided the widow. So I have seen these people who are neglected by society, and I know I have taken care of them. So Job views this as something that God would expect his people to do. He views this as something favorable. The next point, God does explicitly command his people to provide for the needs of the orphans. Verses from, you know, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Verses 28 and 29. So here we see specific instructions to provide for out of the tithes that God's people give, to provide for certain groups of people, and one among them specifically the fatherless. Deuteronomy 24. Starting at verse 17, yes, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, 17, yes.
Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this.
Now, from just to save time, from verse 19 onwards, if you look at 19 to 22, again, provision for them. So verse 19, when you reap your harvest in the field and forget a sheaf, don't go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. Verse 20, when you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. Again, it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. Same thing for the vineyard. And verse 22, the chapter closes. Why do you need to provide for these groups of people who are helpless? Because at one time, remember, you also were helpless in the land of Egypt. So very specific instructions to look after the care, to provide for the orphans, even in relation to something like their daily sustenance or food. Deuteronomy chapter 26. I'll just read from verse 12. Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, verse 13, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. So setting aside the provisions for those certain groups of people of which the fatherless is a part was specifically commanded by God. So you're not even doing it because out of pity, oh, that's so sad, he doesn't have any food. I'm doing this, yes, out of a sense of pity, but also out of a sense of this is one of the commandments of God. We do find verses where it is mentioned that God commands his people to defend the orphans, Psalm 82. So the verses we just looked at were commands on to provide for the needs of the orphans, and specifically most of those verses had to do with their needs of sustenance, like in terms of food. Psalm 82 and verse 3. So defend the poor and the fatherless, very clear. Isaiah 1:17. And if you look at the context here, again, you know, talking about the wickedness of Judah, from verses 1 through 15, you know, really God is saying, I am weary of your sacrifices, and, you know, verse 14, your new moons and appointed feasts. So they're doing all the traditional religious things that they thought they were supposed to. But then verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good. And what is one of the ways you can evidence that you are doing good? Verse 17, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. So one of the most important ways or biggest evidences that you can show that your heart is pure, that you have a right relationship with God, is not even in doing all the feasts and the sacrifices and observing the Sabbaths, as important as those things were. God is saying first, verse 17, seek justice. Go out and defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Then come and observe all the sacrifices that you have been doing. We also find the care of orphans necessary to enjoy God's blessing or favor. One verse from the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And starting at verse 5. If you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood or walk after other gods, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So if you want to enjoy the blessings, the promises, to live in the peace and the prosperity that God will give you, one of the conditions for that, you must look after the fatherless in your society. Now, the last point that we have, you know, when we come to the New Testament, you know, all of the verses that we've looked at are from the Old Testament, and we really don't have much verses on the New Testament. There's quite a few verses on the care of widows, but not so much on the care of orphans. But there is one verse which I think sums up what God thinks about this even in the New Testament, and that is James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 27. So James is saying, you know, and we know that the book of James, the emphasis is on, you know, proving our faith by the deeds that we do. The pure religion, in other words, the religion that God accepts is what? So think about, and forget about other religions, even think about, you know, our own faith here, Christianity. You know, James is really summing up, at the end of the day, what are the two things that matter the most? Now, coming to church is important, yes. Going on a mission trip, that's important, yes. Doing all those other activities that we do, observing the Lord's Supper, all that is very important. But at the end of the day, James is saying what God expects from you can be summed up in two things. I'll start with the second one first. To keep oneself unspotted from the world, holiness, because God is holy. So at the end of the day, what is God looking for from you? Holiness, and then the first part, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, compassion. So compassion and holiness is the religion that God wants. Why compassion and holiness? Because if we think of the nature of God, what two attributes, or compassion or love, what two attributes would better describe who God is? God is the holy of holies, but we are also told that God is love. So everything else that we do, you know, whether it's church, whether it's activities, whether it's whatever else, and those things are needed, those things are necessary. But James is saying here, all those things become in vain if we don't have holiness and if we don't have compassion. So we have spent about 3 hours here this morning. If we leave this building and we are not willing to display holiness or show compassion, and why orphans and widows? Because they are the most helpless in the society. They are the ones who we cannot expect anything in return from. If we are not willing to be holy and show compassion to the lowest of society, then everything we have done here for the last 3 hours is simply vain. So even though there is only one verse in the New Testament specifically about the care of orphans, I think that one verse is quite enough, because that's enough to keep us going for the rest of our life. Pure and undefiled religion is this: keep yourself holy, unspotted from the world, because God is holy, and show compassion. And what is one of the best ways you can show compassion and love? To visit the lowest, the neediest ones in society. So, in conclusion, too many verses to simply write off and say that God does not care about orphans. Yes, of course, all children have a special place in God's heart, but based on the numerous references we have looked at, probably close to 24, it's very clear God values orphans very highly, and they have a special place in his heart. And we should also feel the same way and do our part in helping them. You know, when it comes to, helping the lowest of society, the question is not who is there to help. I mean, there are so many that there is to help, whether it's here, whether it's in India, whether it's in Africa, you know, take your pick. And when we think about orphans, there are millions of orphans around the world. And I came across this quote that I really liked. Sometimes it can seem quite hopeless, right? But this author said, "We cannot help all the orphans. We cannot even help many of them. We may not even be able to help some of them. But can each one of us at least help one of them?" And, I know you've probably heard this before, but with the resources God has given to us, even the amount that we might spend on a meal at a restaurant on Sunday, you know, for our Sunday lunch, not saying we shouldn't do that, but that could be enough in some parts of the world to feed an orphan for a month. So I think all of us in our own way, you know, we should definitely ask the Lord to show us, because God treats this group of people, because they have such a special place in his heart, what can be our part in assisting them? And like I said, the need is so great, we cannot help all of them, we cannot help many of them, we cannot even help some of them. But can each one of us, or each family here, can we do something to at least help one of them? And that would definitely be reflective of the pure and undefiled religion that God is looking for. As I mentioned at the beginning, that organization, the Christian Alliance for Orphans, CAFO.org, Every year they have an Orphan Sunday, and that just happens coincidentally to be today. So I've asked Brother Clifford to come and close in prayer. As we know, he is one who has spent a large part of his life caring for orphans, and orphans and children even today are very much on his heart, so I thought it would be appropriate if he would come and close in prayer, and especially remembering the orphans around the world.
Our loving Father, thank you for the privilege of remembering your dear Son and his death for us. Thank you, Lord, that you gave yourself for us. You became poor. You were rich, but you became poor that we, through your poverty, might be rich. And now we look to you as we've been seeing for the last time, Lord, how you love and care for the orphans and the fatherless and the widows and the poor, the needy. And we pray for the Children's Haven Orphanage there in Mexico along the border. The God is Love Orphanage, Lord, and pray for the Shalom Orphanage in India and Rehoboth Orphanage too. Many more, Lord, we don't know what's going on. So many people of your people, Lord, are spreading the gospel and caring for these needy children. But a few that we know of, Lord, we look to you that you would give them a special blessing today. That they would have a conscious sense of your presence, Lord, that you love them and you're taking care of them. And that you've opened your home to them for all eternity, and you are a father. We thank you, Lord, that we can call you Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. You made a poor choice, brother.